Welcome in to the Saturday edition of Daily Tap for January 20th. Hope you guys are all doing well, enjoying the unseasonably warm weather in Wisconsin today. Very nice, about high 40s. Gotta love that. So here is where we'll do a little deep dive into the both championship games and talk a little bit about Giannis getting basically a week off with knee soreness, and we'll talk about that impact as well. And then if you've been reading the blog, you'll see the recap of last night's impressive Badger victory. They looked really good last night, probably some of the best thing. You wonder, maybe coming together a little bit, or is Illinois just bad? We'll have to wait and see. Purdue also might be one of the better teams in the Big Ten and in the country. I don't know if anyone can actually trust Purdue, though. I mean, we've seen them time and again let us down in the postseason. So that'll be a topic for March, as it will be. So let's get into it. So the Philadelphia Eagles are taking on the Minnesota Vikings. It is the late game, but it is a game that matters to a lot of Wisconsinites, because if the Vikings get to the Super Bowl, it's going to be a tough 2 weeks. I've had a buddy tell me I might not even go to work in the morning, just saying that it could be a rough one. And we explained on Tapping the Keg kind of why this rivalry matters and why that people care so much and are invested. So go check that out if you haven't. But also, you know, there is a power struggle between these two teams, and the Vikings getting to the Super Bowl would be a sign that the power struggle is to the Minnesota Vikings. And I think right now you can say that they are the class of the NFC, or it's looking like they are now. The problem with the Vikings, and it's been this way for years, is they have one or two good years and then they just can't build on that consistency. And so we'll see if they have what it takes. I mean, you look at that defense, and that defense is all young guys. It's all guys they drafted, and they look like they have that look of a team that's ready to be good for years upon years. But we'll see if that ends up being the case. So there's a lot to be decided. So, and then looking at the Eagles, I still think the Eagles aren't getting enough credit, enough respect at this point. I think everyone just says, oh, Nick Foles, and they laugh at it. But let's be real here. Nick Foles did not look that bad against the Atlanta Falcons. He didn't do a ton of things, but he just did enough. He game managed. I worry the fact that the Eagles can't run the ball against the Vikings. The Vikings have been very good against the run, minus that one game against Carolina this season. So I do worry about that the defense won't be able to contain. Xavier Rhodes kind of got banged up. I don't know about Zendejo, if he's going to play this week. So maybe Nick Foles will have some more opportunities. I think Nelson Aguilar is going to get a lot of work inside the slot. I think that's where maybe you can attack the Vikings, as well as maybe using Jay Ajayi out of the backfield with screens and things like that to kind of dilute the pressure. I think they're going to have to get creative. Doug Peterson is going to have to do some things that are out of the norm and see what happens. And we'll also see if Mike Zimmer, you know, keeps the foot on the pedal. I think the big thing of why that game was close against the Saints and they nearly lost was because Zimmer took the pedal off the gas after they had a lead and then just keep pounding. So if the Vikings jump out to a lead again, is Zimmer going to go back to the conservative style of football? Because Case Keenum was going to have to win this game. It's not going to be Latavius Murray or Jerick McKinnon. For as much love as the Vikings run defense is getting, we're not seeing the same thing for the Eagles. The Eagles are mean MFers. They are guys who can get after the quarterback and get after a ball carrier. Now, speaking of the getting after the quarterback, this is, I think, the stat that I quoted earlier this week about that from Pro Football Focus about how Case Keenum was a 5 passer rating, a 5. It's out of 100. It's a 1 out of 100. He was a 5 against pressure for New Orleans. And all Philadelphia does is pressure the quarterback. And I feel like that is going to be the difference of this game. I feel like Case Keenum's propensity for turnovers could be the factor. I just for some reason think this is going to be a game where he throws 3 or 4 interceptions and the Eagles get enough short field and convert on whether it be field goals or touchdowns, and they win this game. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a defensive struggle, but I like the Eagles about 19-13. I think that this I think it's good. I think it's going to be a very good game, but I think that is the factor. I do think the Eagles aren't getting enough credit and enough love for what they have in that defense, and they know it. I do worry a little bit about that secondary. I think the secondary has shown some improvements, but Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs are very good. One thing to note about Stephon Diggs to keep in mind, he's been very good at home. He has not carried it over to the road. His home road splits are wild. There are some guys where you can kind of ignore that and kind of notice like, hey, maybe so, but he does not show any good. There are no good numbers for him on the road. So Adam Thielen's going to be asked to do a lot, I think. And also, too, the Eagles are pretty good against tight ends. So Kyle Rudolph gets taken out of the equation. And that offensive line did show cracks last week, and that could be a really bad sign. So I do think that if anyone gets out to a 10-point lead, it could be a massive hill to climb. But that kind of is the barometer, kind of something to keep an eye on as the game goes on. But I think the Eagles are going to be the team that's representing the NFC. I think that Nick Foles can do enough against his Vikings defense, and that he isn't getting enough credit, and he's becoming more and more comfortable with this team, and you're going to start seeing that out on the field on Sunday night. Moving on to the Jacksonville-New England game, and I want to apologize to everyone because you know I'm going to say go Jags, go America. And I told people earlier this week, including our guy Nolan Murphy, that hey, you got to take the Jags +9, and he got 2 extra points. You know, the line has come down now; it's around 7. But I feel like all the public is loading up on Jacksonville. I think everybody's starting to get comfortable with Jacksonville, thinking Jacksonville can win this game. And now I am officially worried that it's going to be a blowout on the other side, because when the public is convinced of a upset or a cover, it usually doesn't happen. And that's a bad sign. That's a bad sign that people are starting to really think the Jaguars can do this thing. I think part of the reason is because of Tom Brady's hand. Tom Brady hurt himself in practice. Apparently blood was gushing. It seems like he may have broken a knuckle or something might have happened there. And so no one knows really how good they are. And this Jaguars defense has shown some leaks in the last few weeks. I mean, Big Ben lit up them, but I did think that was a little bit of a fraudulent like light up, because if you think about it, he hit Martavis Bryant deep for a fourth down conversion. He hit Antonio Brown deep for a fourth down conversion. So like 100 of his yards were on these just deep balls. So yeah, maybe you can beat him deep, but Tom Brady's not the type of guy. He's more of a dink and dunker, especially with this hand injury. It's going to be very interesting to see what New England does and what Brady can do out on the field. I think it's going to get overanalyzed to death by Twitter doctors, especially in the first quarter. We're all going to look, and if the Patriots struggle, it's going to be like, oh my God, Brady's hand. Is Brian Hoyer going to come in? And that's going to be how we're going to do it. We're going to drive ourselves crazy. And maybe the Patriots defense does need to step up against guys like Blake Bortles and Leonard Fournette to see if they can force some short fields for Brady and company. But I think Tom Brady can do enough with that hand. I don't know how bad it is. No one will ever know. I mean, as Mitch sometimes says about the Packers organization, it's like Red China there. You're not going to actually find a legitimate answer of how bad Brady's hand is. And they're going to have to rely on Deion Lewis, and they get Rex Burkhead back this week, which is a major lift. I think James White's going to be healthy. So they have a full running back arsenal, which is great. I mean, that's going to really help things. Having Chris Hogan and Danny Amendola running more of the slot. I almost wonder if Jalen Ramsey's going to take one of those and let Brandon Cook sort of run free on the perimeter, only because I don't know if Brady can throw the ball downfield. And that might be one of those things where they put AJ Boya on Cooks and they let Ramsey patrol the middle, just from a sense of that's where Brady's going to go, and Ramsey's going to want to be involved with the defense. We've also seen when Brady gets pressured, which Jacksonville, like Philadelphia, is very good at, he sometimes tends to struggle. And if they can start getting a pass rush and they can start doing it with four guys, they just need to believe. I think the first quarter is so important for Jacksonville. If they get punched in the mouth and New England goes up 14-0, it's sheets. The game's over. The Patriots are going to win by 2 scores or more, and there's just no coming back from it. If it's close, if the Jaguars end up getting a score, it's going to be, yeah, we can do this. And I know the Jaguars are cocky as hell, and I know that they believe in themselves. But it's one thing to believe. It's another thing to, like, see yourself actually doing it. It's like the scene in Hook. You're doing it, Peter. You're doing it. That's kind of what you need out of Jacksonville here. And that's what they're going to need. But I don't think they're going to win. As much as I want to see Jacksonville win, as much as I'm all about the Go Jaguars, Go America life, I'm going to take the Patriots 21-17. So I am going to say the Jags cover. But it's going to be a low-scoring game, mostly because I think Brady's hand is going to affect him, and I think they're going to kind of luck into maybe a pick six from Bortles or a fumble return for a touchdown. I think the Patriots' defense does stand up in this game, and it is going to be New England, Philadelphia in the Super Bowl, and we'll get there. And you know, hey, if Donovan McNabb wasn't such a creep, you'd be able to do interviews all week, because you know Donovan McNabb doesn't say no to an interview, but he's a creep, so what? Terrell Owens, Terrell Owens will get it. Is it Terrell? Whatever. He's gonna get his name out there. You know that guy. That guy doesn't miss an interview for a second. He's gonna be booted up, heading to Minnesota, talking about playing with a broken leg and all that other bullshit that went along with him. So wrapping up, the Bucks played a night against the Sixers, and I don't know if I'm even gonna watch. And I probably will. I'm flapping my gums here a little bit, but Giannis was announced. The Bucks announced that Giannis will be missing the game tonight against Philadelphia, as well as the game Monday night against Phoenix. The Bucks, mind you, are 23-21. They lose tonight, they are going to be the 9 seed in the playoff. They're going to be out of the playoffs, which is a wild thing to think about, that this team is going to hit that low. And then you play a Phoenix team who's not very good, but they can score points. And the Bucks beat them without Giannis one time. They're going to try to do it again. And now we're seeing this pattern where every month Giannis is getting a break for that knee. And Jason Kidd just seems to refuse to manage minutes. And it all goes back to Jason Kidd. And you ask yourself, why do we always bang on Jason Kidd? And I don't want to bang. And I said this on Thursday or Friday. I don't want to bang on Jason Kidd, but he makes it so fucking easy. It's not. That's the thing. He's the one who's making Giannis play all of the minutes. He's playing more minutes than Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns. And Tibbs is known for playing his guys all game. And yet Giannis is the one that's leading minutes. And Jason Kidd does not give a fuck. He's like, oh, you have knee soreness? Okay, I don't care. It's fine. We don't need to worry about your knees. We don't need to, if we're getting blown out, instead of waving the white flag and understanding that, hey, this game is lost, you know, let's rest up, let's get ready for tomorrow, we're playing Giannis 35 minutes in case they may come back. It is absolutely garbage. And if anything, Jason Kidd should be fired for, it's not necessarily what he's done on the court, but it's the fact that he's putting Giannis's career at this point in danger. If Giannis gets hurt, seriously, blood is all over Jason Kidd's hands, and I swear to God, Bucks fans might burn the Bradley Center down. I really do believe that. And and I understand the reason Giannis is getting this rest now is because they play 11 games in 21 days. Dean Mallett had that stat in three back-to-backs, had it out of the All-Star break. Bucks play a ton. So that's why they're giving Giannis the break now. I'm perfectly okay with giving Giannis breaks, but let's work on his minutes. And Jason Kidd refuses to. He says it. He is a snake oil salesman. He's continuing to be, and he's never going to change. So now they have to play a Philly team that has Joel Embiid against John Henson and Thon Maker. It's going to be a bloodbath. I would be surprised if the Bucks lose this game by less than 10 points. Embiid is going to have his way. I don't know who guards Ben Simmons, too. I mean, Ben Simmons, obviously. Eric Bledsoe's not going to guard Ben Simmons. Chris Middleton, no. I mean, the one thing, and yeah, Chris Middleton's going to get Robert Covington's defense, who's pretty good. So I guess it's going to have to be Bledsoe as the star of the show. But yeah, Brogdon's not going to play either. So you're going to get Delly minutes. Ah, man, this is going to be bad. So they do get Phoenix then on Monday, and we'll see. And also worth noting, the Charlotte Hornets announced that they're going to be trading all their guys, it seems like. So expect to hear the Dwight Howard to Milwaukee rumors pop up again. I don't think it makes sense. I know that Dwight would definitely fit a role with this team. I just don't know his personality and demeanor, if he'd really want to come. He seems actually relatively happy in Charlotte. And if he was gonna just pitch a fit about it, You know, I don't know if he's really worth that. I do think, and this will get Badger fans kind of tuned up, but I like the idea of Frank Kaminsky. I think Frank Kaminsky is a well-sized big man who can rebound and shoot threes. He's a guy that doesn't really have a role with the Bucks don't have a player like Frank Kaminsky where he's nearly 7 foot. He can rebound. He can shoot threes. That just doesn't. It's not what the Bucks have right now, and he has a little bit of size on him. So I would not hate the idea of Kaminsky coming to the team. I don't know if they're going to be willing to trade a first round draft pick, just like Malik Monk's another guy who could probably fit in with the Bucks. But I don't think they're going to completely fire sale. I just think they're going to sell off some of their bigger pieces. If they'd eat a bunch of Nick Batum's contract, I'd have some Nick Batum interest as well. But he's getting paid way too much, so they would have to eat a decent amount for him to be an option for Milwaukee. So keep an eye on Charlotte. Charlotte's a team that I think we can all look at as maybe there's some potential there for a trade for Milwaukee. All right, that's going to wrap it up today. We'll be back Sunday right before the games. We probably will talk more about what happened in college basketball today, as well as the Bucks. We'll try to work through whatever happened with the Bucks tonight. And then, yeah, maybe some quick notes if something breaks about Brady's hand, quick reactions, quick thoughts. But most of it, we've talked about it enough, and we're just ready to play the game. So have a good Saturday. Enjoy the warmer weather. And if you see me out, don't be a stranger. Say hello. All right, you can find us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SnowtapWI. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play. We'll have a little more on that on Monday, just to let everybody know. A little surprise there for my Android friends. So you can find us on both channels. We'll talk more about that on Monday, and yeah, we'll talk again tomorrow. See you guys.